Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, named after the fictional small town found in several of author Michael DeCamp's books. This podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll hear interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, performers, and entrepreneurs, sprinkled with friendly banter about any number of topics, all of which attempt to view the world through the lens of creativity. Turn up the volume and enjoy the latest conversations in Cutter's Notch.
Welcome back to the Cutter's Notch podcast. I'm Mike DeCamp, your host, and I'm here with my co-host,
Nancy DeCamp. Hello, everybody.
And we are going to do just the two of us this particular episode. So we'll get into that here in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
But welcome back, and we're looking forward to another interesting conversation about what's happening in Cutter's Notch. Nancy, what's your creative indulgence?
So thank you for asking, Michael. The creative indulgence that I'm going to share is a book that I've been reading. It's called The Unmaking of June Farrow by Adrian Young. And I actually borrowed the book from my daughter, Angela. She really liked it. And I started reading it, and instantly it just really pulled me in. And the top story about it is that a woman risks everything to end her family's century-old curse, solve her mother's disappearance, and find love in the mesmerizing novel from New York Times bestseller of, I guess, Spells for Everything is another book that this author has written. It takes place in a small town of Jasper, North Carolina. And it says the Farrow women are known for their thriving flower farm and for the mysterious curse that has plagued their family line. The whole town remembers the madness that led to Susanna Farrow's disappearance, leaving her daughter June to be raised by her grandmother and haunted by rumors, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm really enjoying it. It's pulled me in right away.
So Nancy, what kind of genre is that book?
Well, you know, I think that's an interesting question because I'm not sure 100%, but what it says on the cover is with The Unmaking of June Farrow, Adrian Young delivers a brilliant novel of romance, mystery, and a touch of the impossible, a story you'll never forget. So I feel like it covers some romance, some mystery, some, you know, maybe hopefulness. I don't know exactly yet what's the strongest one, but definitely some different genres meshed together.
You know, I like it when books kind of mesh together different genres.
Yeah.
You know, when they're just purely this or purely that, I like it better when it's a mixture.
Yeah.
I think personally,
instead of straight, oh, this was a mystery and there's right. No other aspect. Seems a little flat.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And
maybe it's a little bit more real life.
Yeah.
So
I get that.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So how about you? Tell me about creative indulgence in your part.
Well, I got a couple of things I was thinking of. One, recently I had a book table at the Indiana Comic Convention.
Oh, yeah. That was the first time for you, right?
Indy Comic Con.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was my first time at the Comic Con and the first time having a book table there.
How was that?
You know, the book table went really pretty well.
Good, good.
Although I need to find a way to contain my expenses around the event.
Sure. It's a big one, right? It's a big event. And yeah.
Big event, sold a lot of books. There may be somebody out there listening right now who picked up my book or found out about this podcast while they were at my table. But that's not the interesting thing about it. The interesting thing about it is really the creativity of both the artwork of the various artists that were offering their works at the Comic-Con.
Yeah, I've heard that there's a lot of artists that...
Oh, yeah.
Artistic things.
For example, the guy directly across from me, his name is Steve Messenger. So it's Steve Messenger Art, I think is how he's found.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of hand-drawn character prints. So he was selling prints of all kinds of different characters, both from the comic world and also from the world of sci-fi and horror, et cetera.
Interesting.
Very interesting things that he was doing with his art, and he was directly across from me. We get to know each other a little bit. That was kind of cool, but also the costumes.
Oh, yeah, I've heard, and there's been times I've seen, what they call that, cosplay?
Cosplay, yes.
Yeah, I've seen people hair, makeup, the costume itself, totally. So did you see a lot of that there?
Oh, yeah, completely.
Really?
It's hard to describe. I mean, it's all sorts of characters that, well, frankly, most of them I didn't know what they were because I'm not that from that generation. It crosses generations from characters from my childhood all the way through,
characters that are popular. Now.
Maybe even Gen Alpha. There were just all sorts of ages of people dressed up in costumes. Yeah. So people older than me to kids coming through. Some costumes a little bit more on the revealing side than others, but most of them were just interesting costumes. Yeah. I saw Chewbacca came through.
Oh, okay.
He was literally 7 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
Completely covered in the Chewbacca outfit.
This was somebody dressed up. It wasn't like the actor who...
Right. It wasn't the real Chewbacca Alwa. I suppose it could have been.
Yeah. But
because I couldn't tell. He's wearing the Chewbacca outfit, but he was using the Chewbacca voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, there were a lot of celebrities there that I would have loved to have met. Lou Diamond Phillips was there. Katie Sackhoff was there. Both of them were in Longmire, but they were also in other shows that are more suitable for the comic convention.
Right.
There were all these Star Trek people there.
Ah, I'd like that.
There was the sister from Young Sheldon was there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Missy. That's Reagan. I think her name is Reagan Revold. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, but she was there. I didn't get to meet any of them.
Because you were at your booth.
I was at my booth. They were at their table. They didn't really come out and mingle.
Were they a long way away from you? Because it's pretty big, right?
I think if you took everything out of the room, I might have been able in my youth to throw a baseball and hit them.
Yeah.
It was far enough away. I couldn't see them, couldn't hear them.
Sure.
The comic convention is quite an event.
Yeah.
And it was good exposure for me getting my works out there, but it was just incredibly interesting. Yeah. Watching the people.
Do you
walk
think
around.
You would ever be interested in dressing up like a character?
Well, I know you dressed me up as a clown last Halloween.
Well, that's Halloween. I'm saying a character for something like this, whether it be sci-fi or.
It's just an example. I think, I think I talked to Angela about this because she sat with me for a part of a day.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, I think it would be fun to go to a comic convention dressed up as a character. I think it would be fun.
Yeah.
And the reason I think I would enjoy it is because when we did the Halloween thing last year for the trunk or treat, just so y'all know listening in, Nancy, every year we do these trunk or treat things at church and Nancy says she's not going to do it.
I'm not going to do it. I don't have the time. I'm too tired. Blah, blah, blah.
Then she pulls it out of the air and pulls it off. And half the time we win contests,
we don't do. I do it because I just love the kids and getting their reaction to things.
But this last year, she had us both dressed up as clowns and she was inside a Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
And I was the guy on the outside supposedly cranking the Jack in the Box.
And I'd pop out. Scared the parents more than the kids. The kids had fun, but.
But I was dressed up completely head to toe as a clown, and I really got into it.
You got into the character. You did do that.
Once I dress up, once you get me dressed up, whether it be a clown or the Big Bad Wolf from a couple of years back.
Yeah, yeah.
I get into the character.
That's true.
And I think that if I did a Comic-Con dressed up as a character, I think I would truly get into it.
Yeah.
Once I chose to do it, I was committed and I was dressed.
Right.
I think I would be fully into the whole realm. So it would be fun.
It would be fun.
That was my creative indulgence, I think.
Yeah, a good one.
The other one, I am planning a solo driving adventure for later this year. I'm not going to spread this all over the world so everybody knows when I'm gone, but I'm taking a driving adventure up through Michigan and then due west across Wisconsin, North Dakota. I said Minnesota, I guess. I crossed Minnesota too. Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, Montana, and into Idaho.
So definitely something you want to do in a summertime, not the wintertime, right?
Well, sometime between May and September or somewhere
right,
in there.
But, right.
I'll be taking Highway 2 across there. I might try to connect with a few, two or three small bookstores while I'm going across.
Interesting.
So if you're along Highway 2 and you are part of a bookstore up there, reach out. maybe I'll come see you. But yeah, that's kind of fun to kind of use. You bought me for Christmas an actual paper
atlas. Yeah, you were wanting one so that you could kind of plot.
Yeah,
I know. Where and what. And
a lot of folks don't use road atlases anymore, but if you're going to plan a long road trip, it's really helpful to have a paper road atlas. It's easier.
Right.
And so I've been able to kind of map that out and kind of get an idea of where I'm going to be when and what I want to see along the way. So that's been
That's a creative indulgence, just kind of planning and thinking about what you want to.
Right.
Awesome. Well, great.
So Nancy, what is it we're going to talk about today?
Well, today we got to talking about, since we love creative people and things and such, and have found in the most recent years, we enjoy creative arts, be it going to, in our town, every first Friday of the month, they have what's called First Friday, and art galleries and museums and such will open up that you can come and go through and see the artwork. And a lot of times they'll have live music there. We enjoy going to concerts, to plays, other productions. And as you get into spring, summer, and fall, that's kind of like big season. You always have big concerts, you know, at your arenas year round.
Right.
But it seems like there is more of a musical season. And so recently I sat down, I kind of plotted out what are some things that we want to see groups do over the next several months. Give us something to look forward to in a creative sense. And so we actually started that recently, and I thought it would be fun to talk about some of the different things we're going to participate in or have the potential to participate in over the next several months. And it might stir some of you to think about things you would like to do, or maybe even join us at some of these venues.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah. If you're the local.
Now, of course, you know, this will probably be the second episode since our conversation around our New Orleans trip. And of course we hit some music entertainment venues on that trip. That I kind of lumped that into what we're looking to do for this year because it was on this year, but the jazz
and some of the food places and
absolutely
museums and such.
So the one that we just did, what was that?
So the first one that I got tickets for was a musical group called Dust Bowl Revival.
Dust Bowl Revival.
Right. I found them randomly found them on the internet and saw that they were coming to town. And the focus of their music, they're basically not one genre type of band, but their music on this tour focused on the Laurel Canyon music that came out of the 60s and 70s. So I said, hey, Mike, what do you think about going and seeing this Dust Bowl Revival group? And what was your initial thought? On that.
Why would I want to listen to music about the Dust Bowl?
Right.
You know, probably a lot of us have no idea what the Dust Bowl was, but back in the 30s, there was this big, dry, arid year where everything dried up and there was just dust blowing everywhere. It was the big Dust Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not sure what Dust Bowl Revival has to do with Laurel Canyon. But I will say this, if you're curious about Laurel Canyon, what that tie-in is, there is a documentary on Amazon Prime that talks about the music that came out of Laurel Canyon, California.
Which is in the Hollywood Hills. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, it was second only to the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood for hippies. It was like the place in the 60s and 70s. Right.
Right.
And you watched the documentary.
I did.
In the past. So you think about music artists in that time frame that they referred to. I list down Joni Mitchell, The Doors, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, Carole King, Jackson Brown, Linda Ronstadt, The Mamas and the Papas, The Eagles, among a few. So it was really
Brian Wilson.
Yeah, Brian Wilson. Some of the Beach Boys were close to that area. But it was really kind of a folk rock country fusion genre or, you know, explosion of music that came from that time where they not really one particular genre, but included like distinctive harmonies along with those different things. So,
well, and they all kind of influenced one another. They helped one another. They worked together on music projects. So quite a collaborative community. And from what they said at the concert, a lot of that centered around Mama Cass's house.
Yeah, so hers and cool. Joni Mitchell's house, from what I have researched or understand about that music in that time period.
Right.
But this Dust Bowl revival group, I find it interesting. This is the second time I've heard this, where the band started in Venice Beach from a Craigslist ad.
Well, it's kind of like when we had Keith and Ron, Keith and Leslie a few episodes back. And,
yeah.
Keith that's found Leslie through a Craigslist
ad. We were looking for musicians. I thought, well, that's interesting. I wonder if that happens more than I realized, that bands are trying to form or they're looking for a bass player or backup singers or something.
They put an ad out
they
there.
They put it out on Craigslist. Right. It's like, oh, is that how you, I'm, maybe that's my way to get famous, get discovered.
Man, Nancy, you could form a band.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you enjoy the concert?
I did. It was a small venue.
Yeah. I like that.
We like small venues. Mm-hmm. I think the smallest, you know, we saw John Mellencamp at a relatively small theater, but it's still a big theater. Mm-hmm. Many years ago, but I think seeing professional artists perform in a smaller venue is just special.
It's more intimate, more interactive.
Right.
I feel like.
Right.
I really enjoyed them.
They had some of their own music. They did.
Yes.
They did a lot of Laurel Canyon related music. Yeah, because
that was the focus of this tour that they're doing, but.
But they had some of their own original music, which I found very intriguing and quite good.
Yeah.
So I would recommend folks that you know look up the Dust Bowl Revival. I think they're fairly easy to find. iTunes and anywhere else that you can find music.
You can find them out. So yeah, that was didn't really know them. Had a little hint of a little bit of their music, and I was like, well, let's give it a try. Yeah,
we really didn't know what we were getting in there, getting into. Did we? The other interesting thing was I won't say how old we are, but I would say the median age in the room might have been a little older than us.
Yeah, I think we were younger than a lot of people in the room.
But
some of them got up and went up front and danced and songs and such.
But that music from that time period probably fit the age group that was there. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was. So next on the list.
Uh-oh, what's next? What have I got to look forward to?
The next on the list is to see the play Misery, based on the Stephen King writing.
Right.
At the local Buck Creek Players Playhouse. Here in Indianapolis.
Yes. On the southeast side of Indianapolis, there's a little playhouse, the Buck Creek Playhouse.
We used to live fairly close to it. Mm-hmm. And our daughters even participated in some stuff there. And we've gone there a number of times.
We've seen a couple of other, I think Angela was in Annie.
Yeah, there was an Annie Jr. and she had a role there. And I helped backstage with costume and makeup with the kids. Right. And
well, we have a special connection with this Misery.
We do on this particular production we've seen the movie with Kathy Bates, the classic, right?
And James Caan.
Yeah. Classic. And totally not a feel good kind of
kind of gives show. You a different concept of what sledgehammers
yeah,
are for.
Right. Yeah, for sure. But Mike, tell us what's the connection or why are we going to go to Buck Creek Players to see this particular?
Well, we happen to know one of the actors.
Yes, we do.
If you go back, I think it's last season. I think it was the previous season. We had an episode with Aaron Beale.
Yes.
Actor. He was living in Hollywood at the time. Well, he's back living in our general neck of the woods, and he's getting involved in the Buck Creek Players Playhouse, and he's going to play the sheriff in Misery.
Yeah, so we want to go and support Aaron. He's been a long time, I think since grade school. He was at grade school with Angela.
Yes.
So we've known him and his family for years.
Well, we love the Beale family.
We do love the Beale family. Yeah. They're great, great people.
Yeah. So if you're local to the Indianapolis area and you hear this episode in time and it's still playing, go see Misery.
Yeah. It's showing March 28th through April 6th. So there's a couple of weeks that it's going to be showing. So.
Yeah. I'm not sure when this episode's coming out, but we'll see. We'll see. It's a little tight there.
But Buck Creek Players is definitely a local place that it's a small venue again and a great way to see some great productions.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, wherever you're listening at right now, you could be in Walla Walla, Washington, or you could be in Orlando, Florida, wherever you may be. You could be in Virginia. There's probably a small playhouse.
Yeah, a little somewhere. Civic theater or some kind that...
Local actors, local productions.
Yeah.
Go support that. Check that out. Yes. We've always enjoyed that kind of a venue and would highly recommend that. And the actors and the production people from those programs would certainly appreciate your patronage.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So then after we participate in a musical a few weeks later... We're going to see a group that I wanted to see a couple of years ago. They were in town and then things worked out where I couldn't go. I was going to go with a friend and it just didn't happen. But I said, Mike, let's go see the Ukulele Orchestra of Great Britain. And what was your response thoughts about that?
The what?
Right?
They've made an orchestra out of ukulele.
Yes, yes. I guess it was founded in the mid-80s, 1985-ish. And it features musicians that play ukuleles of various sizes and ranges. It's a musical performance, but supposedly from the little clips I've seen, there's a lot of that kind of tongue-in-cheek, deadpan humor, just kind of lighthearted. And they'll play even like covers of pop songs, but come at it from a different angle. And I just thought that just sounds interesting and creative and not the usual.
It's definitely that. Interesting and creative. See, folks, this is what I live with my wife is, most couples, they go to see big acts at big venues. And we do that and we'll talk about that in a minute or two, but my wife likes to go see ukulele orchestras.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool.
Why not? Well, the other thing, and one of the things I'm doing that you're not doing, you have another commitment, won't be able to be there, but, our daughter, Angela, one of her bosses in her department actually, plays bassoon. And growing up, I played bassoon. And his wife is an opera singer, and they're going to at a church, it's not a church service, but they're using the church as the venue, and they're going to do a concert. So he and another bassoonist and a keyboardist and his wife are doing this concert. So I'm going to go see some bassoons. And so there you go. That's another kind of creative thing to do.
A bassoonist concert.
I did go. We do have in Indianapolis, Rock E Bassoon. You need to check them out.
They're Rock E Bassoon.
Yeah. So it's the word rock, the letter E, and the word bassoon, B-A-S-S-O-O-N. And it is a group of professional bassoonists, a couple of, and one of the guys that's going to be playing with Angela's boss is in the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra. And he's also in Rock E Bassoon. And they have six or seven bassoons and they play rock music and it's fun.
I would be happy to check that out. Unfortunately, apparently I have to miss this one.
This one, but we'll have to check. See, 'cause they usually in the summertime, they're usually playing somewhere. I'll have to look them up and see where they're playing. So you can, 'cause they played one other time and I couldn't get anybody to go with me. So I went by myself, the Rocky Bassoon.
Oh, so you have seen them before.
Not these people,
with the Rocky Bassoon.
Rocky Bassoon I have seen before.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, what's the cello guy? You know, the cello.
Yo-Yo Ma.
Not Yo-Yo Ma, but sometimes it's like a couple of cello players and they're playing rock tune.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't. I've seen videos of that.
It's absolutely astounding and amazing. So you can obviously do things with instruments that maybe traditionally we wouldn't think of.
Well, I saw when we were at the Dust Bowl Revival, an advertisement for a group, the Red-Eyed Pipers? What was it?
I didn't catch it. I'm sorry.
Red Hot Chili Pipers. Red Hot Chili Pipers. And it's a band of bagpipes, and they play rock music with bagpipes.
See, that would be... That's
stretching it.
Well, you know, I don't know if it's any more stretching it than a whole orchestra of ukuleles.
Well, there you go.
So I think, you know, hey, you know, it's worth giving it a shot.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
What's next on our list?
Well, next scheduled on our list, there may be some things that are interspersed, but we're going to do a traditional concert for you and I. We have seen them multiple times. I've seen them multiple times. But this summer, we are going to once again go see Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, wow. We're going to see Earth, Wind, and Fire again.
Yeah.
Now, I say that it probably sounded negative, but I don't mean it to sound negative because they are incredibly, still incredibly good.
Yes. Yes.
And a lot of fun. It's a fun concert.
It is. The people that go to Earth, Wind, and Fire concerts, it's just, I always say, it's kind of like a love fest. Everybody's in a positive, upbeat, you know.
And it's just them this time, right?
Yeah. I mean, they might have, last year we saw them?
Yeah.
They were with the group Chicago.
Both groups kind of had an equal concert.
Equal concert. And then they came out together at the end, and that was pretty amazing. But this time it is, they're the feature. It's Earth, Wind, and Fire. And we'll see that. And we'll see. I got tickets so that my daughters could go because they've never seen them, just to expose them. So we'll see if we can truly convince them to go. I mean, they went to Donny Osmond and fell in love with him.
Donny Osmond last year.
Might as well see. But I'm looking forward to that. I enjoy their music a lot, but that concert experience is just a typically positive, upbeat, good time.
And that'll be at the,
That one is at White River State Park, downtown Indy.
Oh, yeah. That's a really nice venue.
Yeah, it is. And it's like, again, it's summer, it's outside. There are areas where you can just take a lawn chair and grass seating, or you can reserve seats as well. And the seat area does have a roof over it, but it's open air. And I just enjoy those open air concerts.
Yeah. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we've seen some other folks there. We've seen Jason Mraz there a couple of times.
Yep. Yep.
I think we saw Alison Krauss and Robert Plant together.
I did not expect it to be amazing. I thought it would be good. But that, if you ever get a chance to see Alison Krauss and Union Station are going to be in town sometime this summer. I didn't get those tickets because we have seen Alison Krauss with Union Station at Red Rocks in Colorado, which was a pretty amazing experience. But Alison Krauss and Robert Plant,
it's unexpectedly beautiful because you have Alison Krauss, who has an amazing voice anyway, mm-hmm. who comes from the bluegrass angle.
Right.
And you have Robert Plant, Led Zeppelin singer.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically a rock legend.
Yeah.
And they come together and you think there's no way this is going to work, but you would be wrong.
It was incredible. I was blown away. Yeah. I was really, that's one of those instances where I was blown away.
And then, we went and saw my little crush, Norah Jones.
Yeah. we saw, I try to find in the creative spirit. I try to find different groups or plays or performances that are unique and different. So we're constantly exposed to different things, but I also try to get a mixture of like, okay, we're going to Earth, Wind, and Fire because I love Earth, Wind, and Fire. Or we're going to Donny Osmond because I say we're doing, or we're going to Pink because I just love Pink, you know, like mm-hmm. we do the things, but then I also try to think of, well, let's go see Stevie Nicks because Mike's always liked Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks. Let's go see Sarah, you know.
Let's go see the Eagles.
Let's go see the Eagles or Norah Jones. So I try to mix it.
I want to see Chris Stapleton.
Oh, I know. He's coming to town. And I thought, this is it. We're going to get to do it. Until I looked at the lawn ticket price.
Crazy expensive.
Yeah. It was like $225 just to sit on the lawn.
That's crazy.
And, you know, kudos to him. If he can rake in that money, kudos to him. But
and I'm not even sure it's him. I think it's, you know, it's the production companies who put him on. You know, they set the ticket prices based on what they can, you know, what
because
you can
get. Because he can pull that kind of money. Most places, if you get a lawn ticket, you're paying $60-$70.
Right.
Max.
That's just,
max.
That's
it could be even less than that.
Off the hook.
So, yeah, that's one I would really like to see. I'm not a big country fan, but I really would like to
play,
see him.
Hear him play Tennessee Whiskey.
I do like that song. His voice is just so good on that song.
Yeah.
The tone of it such. So we'll have to miss that one. I'm sure some of our friends out there might be going, but
we'll live vicariously through them.
We will.
And I'll turn on Pandora or Spotify.
There you go. And then I have purchased additional tickets. Now this was totally my friend Dana and I were going to go, but of course I don't want Mike to sit around with FOMO, They're missing out. So I said, hey, I'm going to this concert with Dana. Do you want to go?
What one was it? Oh, I know what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you girls just want to have fun, but you're going to let me go anyway.
We are going to let you go. We're going to go see Cyndi Lauper later this summer. I think it will be interesting, number one, to see her and hear some of her music that I knew from college days and all that kind of thing. But I think it'll be interesting to see the audience there.
That ought to be intriguing.
Yeah.
Is she there with another group?
She's got somebody else with her, but it's not, a big name or whatever. I know there's an opener or something.
Okay. Well, that sounds cool. That'll be fun. When are we doing that one? That's later in the summer.
Yeah. Right. Later in the summer.
Is that the last one that's definitely planned?
That's the last one that's planned. I mean, the other things that I hope to mix and mingle are, we have a lot of venues, and I'm sure other listeners elsewhere do too, especially in the summertime, where you can go and you can, like May or June through August, September, and they bring in different musical groups. A lot of them are, local or regional, but they bring in some big names sometimes too. There's a couple of wineries here, Buck Creek Winery, Mallow Run Winery. They tend to have live music every Saturday, and you can't take alcohol in because they sell their wine and what have you, but you can take in your own little cooler of snacks. And a lot of times they also have food trucks available on certain nights. Mm-hmm. So they're starting to list out their concerts that will be coming up this season. The other thing that I've discovered is just south of Indianapolis, Greenwood Park, at Craig Park in Greenwood, they have an amphitheater and they do that kind of thing. And they'll have food trucks, but you can also take your lawn chair. They have a nice little amphitheater and they have a lot of good music playing. So I'm hopeful we'll be able to participate in that. Other places we've been to, what's called Rock the Ruins at Holiday Park in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And
who do we see there?
That was Andy Grammer. A
couple years ago.
Andy Grammer. Yeah. Yeah, and I forget who he was with, but who he was with was somebody I knew that our daughter Angela had introduced me to. So it was two groups. I was like, oh, I would love to see. I'd seen Andy Grammer live before, and I really enjoyed his music and performance. And this other group, I was like, oh, I want to see this. And that was a lot of fun. And then the other place I was going to say maybe we'll weave in is Garfield Park in Indianapolis. Tends to have a lot of different performances. Sometimes they have music festivals, but they also do like a Shakespeare festival where you can go and watch. They have actors do Twelfth Night or something like that. And we've gone there as well in the past, but it's just something to look forward to throughout the warmer season here.
Can I make a suggestion for one that we look and see if we can do?
What's that?
I don't have a specific date, but our friends, Cook and Bell, do a lot of like summer festivals, things like street fairs.
Yeah, yeah,
things
yeah.
like that.
That's a great place for live music. Yeah.
They also play at like the casino down the road. Shelbyville, Indiana has a casino. There's Anderson one has a casino. They'll play there, but I can't breathe in there because they still allow smokers in the casinos.
Yeah.
People can smoke in there and it gets just really, I can't do it. But when they play street fairs and that kind of festivals and stuff, that'd be cool. And if you're listening in, we did an episode with Cook and Bell a couple of seasons back. You can look that up.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to take in.
They usually do a Christmas show that we've gone to a couple of times at any rate.
Right.
But they're a great duo and band when they're out and about. And then we've also had on our podcast before our friends, David and Pamela Ackerman.
Right.
And there's a lot of times Spencer Farm Winery up in Noblesville.
I love that little place.
It is that's a great venue too. You can check them out. They'll have live music. And again, they do have some food and beverages to purchase, but you can bring your own stuff there too. And just when it's a pleasant summer afternoon, evening, because sometimes it's Saturday evenings, Friday evenings, but Sunday afternoon for the live music. Highly recommend that. It's just a great way to just relax, to enjoy company, and enjoy some good music.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have some fun this year.
Well, you know what? I had somebody tell me once, well, no matter what you're doing, if it's not fun, you shouldn't be doing it.
I feel like that you're expanding my horizons on music.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're making me think of things that I never thought of.
Well,
like ukulele orchestras.
Ukulele orchestras and
Dust Bowl revivals. But we're going to have fun. We're already having fun.
We've already started out having fun.
So we're going to look forward to continuing to do that through this season.
And we encourage you to pursue that, whatever that might
wherever
be.
Wherever you're at. You know, the things that we've listed that we're going to do, that's stuff that's going on here in central Indiana. But like I said earlier, no matter where you are, there are live music opportunities. Take advantage of them. Support your local playhouse that does local productions. Your local actors, they need some love too.
They do. And if you have a symphony or a symphonic band, like even here, we have Symphony on the Prairie where they have a summer, and I haven't even looked to see what their summer series might be. We've done that before.
Local wineries, local breweries, they often have live music. Go check them out. Those local artists, they need your support.
And wouldn't it be cool? You never know. Like, I saw them back when, you know, somebody, not that we care tremendously about, oh, I know somebody famous, but when you, everybody wants to see somebody succeed. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to say, oh, I saw this duo or this band, and look, now they just won a Grammy.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of cool. I've kind of enjoyed like talking about that with, you know, like our friends Cook and Bell, and talking about going to see their concert maybe this summer sometime at some event or their Christmas concert.
Yeah.
But their son Seth is playing guitar for Mickey Guyton. He just recently was on tour in the UK with her and has been on the Grand Ole Opry and on Austin City Limits. And he's
working it,
hitting on the edge of the big time.
Yeah, he's working.
And I remember sitting next to him at IHOP for breakfast one time, but it's just kind of cool. You kind of know these little connections and maybe you can make those kind of connections wherever you are with the local artists and the local performers as they're coming up.
It makes me think about too, how we stumbled across, we shared about our trip and how we stumbled across, is it Lieber's Fork?
Lieber's Fork, yeah.
Lieber's Fork, and we go into this restaurant, and we're home a couple of weeks, and I see that Rod Stewart happened to show up and sing in that restaurant.
The
very same one that we had been in. Yeah, the Fox and Lock. And I was like, well, we really did stumble on a little gem there.
Wouldn't it have been funny if we'd been in there for lunch and it was Rod Stewart?
That would have been a little bit crazy, unbelievable kind of thing, but. Fun times.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, music entertainment is a fun thing to explore.
Yes, for sure.
Well, I suppose we should wind this down.
Yes, Mike, you need to pull out a random question for us today.
I get to pull the random question today, folks. So let's see what it is. I'll pull it out and we'll check out this question.
All right. You got to answer it first.
All right. Here's the question. What is it Nancy loves the most about you?
That's not what it says.
Oh, okay. What is the best TV show of all time?
Oh, my goodness.
The best TV show
of all time?
That's really stretching it. That's tough. Oh, man.
I know.
You're really testing me because, you know, I have shows that in my mind that have been awesome over the years. Should I just think about what I think my personal favorite is of all time, or should I try to think of, just realistically, what is the greatest TV show of all time?
I say for you.
For me.
For you.
Oh, man. I think it would have to be probably the biggest overall impact on me is probably Star Trek, the original series.
That was good. I can remember as a kid, you'd have the local news, and as they closed out to hand it over to Star Trek, they would kind of beam them out of their news seats like they did the special effects. And I always thought that was so fun that they did that.
And that was when Star Trek was in reruns.
Right.
You know, I didn't watch it when it was actually on first run television, 67, 68. I didn't watch it then. I think maybe some of my older siblings might have. But my brothers,
watching it then.
I wanted to watch Lassie, you know, back in that day. Gentle Ben, you know, that kind of stuff. But You know, when I got into Star Trek, thanks to my friend Jerry Davis. If Jerry's listening,
hey, Jerry.
Jerry Davis got me into this in Muncie, Indiana, and probably sometime when we were, I think, in middle school. And we made our own little phasers out of pieces of wood.
Yeah.
And we, I think he had a tricorder he made that hung around his neck. He wanted to be Spock. I wanted to be Kirk. And we were all into Star Trek for quite a while. And then, of course, the movies came out.
Yeah.
And then The Next Generation. Nancy and I watched The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Religiously for the whole run.
Mm-hmm.
And now Star Trek is still on. There's still Star Trek spinoffs.
Right.
If you're on the Paramount Plus station, there's Picard, there's Discovery, it just continues.
Yeah.
Star Trek is a thing that is, the world of Star Trek just keeps getting bigger. And so I think ultimately Star Trek, realistically, if not just my favorite of all time, maybe the greatest television family of shows that
exists. It definitely was a culture of influence. And I find it so interesting when you look at the very first Star Trek series, so many of the inventions and things that they have, we have now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, Scotty could sit down at a computer and say, computer, well, you can talk to your computer and it's going to dictate for you now, you know?
Yeah. You can, we had the communicators, handheld ways of communicating. Yeah. Well, now we have cell phones.
Right.
We had the replicators. Right. Where you walk in and you could replicate. It was food for them. I haven't seen actually replicated food, but we have got 3D printers now.
Yeah.
Where you can program it in and it will print out whatever it is you want it to print out. Yeah. An actual functional. I had a functional crescent wrench that was 3D printed.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of interesting things that they did in Star Trek, like the doors just sliding open as you walked up.
Yeah.
That was a little unusual even in the late 60s. And now a few years later, you would step on a pad, the door would open. But back then, even that was a little on the edge.
Yeah.
And so many of those things have actually come true. Now, I'm still waiting for them to come up with a transporter system.
Yeah, that would be convenient, wouldn't it?
I'm not sure I would trust it. I got some people I would put through it first.
Try it. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, step on. But I'm not sure I would do it first.
Yeah.
At any rate. So what about you, Nancy? What's the greatest television program of all time? Greatest television show of all time?
Hands down, The Muppet Show.
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Why?
It's funny. It's creative. It's, different characters, makes fun of the rock band. And then you have the chef and you've got Beaker and you've got the grumpy old guys up in the.
That's me.
Yeah. You got Fozzie the Bear, Waka Waka Waka. And you've got, of course, the romance with Miss Piggy and Kermit. But no, I will say Muppets.
Now, rumor has it that when you were in high school and so you were going out on a date.
Mm-hmm.
On a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Your date had to come in and watch The Muppet Show first.
No, but they couldn't pick me up until The Muppet Show. The time frame had to be after The Muppet Show went off. And if they showed up early, they watched the end of the show with me.
Oh, yes.
So, that is a true.
So there was
not
rules,
a rumor.
There were rules.
Yeah. There was rules. If they were like, oh, I could pick you up at, 7:15, I'd be like, make it 7:30. I really did that.
Who's your favorite Muppet character?
Beaker.
Why? Why Beaker?
Because I just think he's hilarious. He's like this scared little guy that's at the mercy of other people. And
I think for me, it's the Cookie Monster.
He's not. That's Sesame Street.
Oh, that's Sesame Street? See, I got it messed up.
He's a puppet, but, much like
they are. I thought the Muppets were sometimes on Sesame Street.
They have been known to go on there, but they're not regular characters.
Okay, well,
see,
I didn't watch either one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know why you married me, because I was not a big Muppet fan. how did that happen?
It had run its course, I think. It had run its course by then, so.
I slipped past the Muppet qualification. The Muppet
they didn't have to like the Muppets. They just couldn't interrupt me while I had liked them.
Okay. How about Bert and Ernie? Were they on there?
Yeah. Well, no, Bert and Ernie was Sesame Street.
They were Sesame Street, too?
Yes. Get your puppets straight.
I must have liked Sesame Street. Was Big Bird on there?
No.
He's Sesame Street.
You're talking Kermit the Frog.
Okay. Miss Piggy.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? Miss Piggy. Definitely total diva.
Did Miss Piggy sing too?
She did. She tried.
Okay.
Then you had Fozzie Bear, the comedian.
Okay.
You had the Swedish Chef.
Oh.
You had the animal with the, I forget the name of the band, Dr. Somebody's band. But, and then, of course, you know, the scientist and mild-mannered scientist and Beaker, and something would always blow up. Then you had the grumpy old guys upstairs in the balcony. And then they would have guests, you know, like, you know, big time singers or whatever that might show up on the show and interact with them too. So
funny.
Yeah.
We recently watched the movie about the very first, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Episode.
That, now talk about a cultural impact.
Yeah. Well, the tie in here is that Jim Henson from the Muppets was involved in the very first Saturday Night Live.
Very first episode.
In the early times of Saturday Night Live, there was a Jim Henson angle.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm not sure I realized that.
Mr. Bill.
Mr. Bill. All right. Anything else you want to add?
No, that's go out there, have some fun. Well, and do it with people. Come, you know, if you see some of these things out there and it's a time frame and we've said we're going to be there, come on out and join us.
What's our favorite winery there in Whiteland?
Mallow Run.
If you go to Mallow Run, get some rhubarb wine.
Yeah, you like that. It's a very light strawberry rhubarb kind of flavor, right?
Yeah, but there's no strawberry in it. It's pure rhubarb.
Just rhubarb, but it's a sweet tart.
Yeah. If you're like a rhubarb, I don't know about rhubarb. Well, just try
it.
Yeah.
You don't have to get a bottle. You just get a little glass.
Try it. You'll like it.
Hey, Mikey.
We should talk about favorite all-time commercials.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
He won't like it. He hates everything. Okay, folks, thank you for sticking out with us on this particular episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast. Thank you, Bill Whitehair,
for
the post-production work. And folks, we will catch you again very, very soon. Take care.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast. Your hosts have been Michael and Nancy DeCamp. Michael is the author of several fantasy thriller novels and short stories that can be found on Amazon or ordered through your local bookseller. Visit www.authormicheldecamp.com to learn more. His most recent release, The Purveyor of Death, Doc Moon Book 1, is a classic young adult horror novel and the first book in a new series. It's guaranteed to keep you turning pages. Nancy is Michael's number one fan with a love and appreciation for creativity everywhere. The Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. Subscribe to catch each new episode as it drops. You can reach us by sending an email to michael@authormicheldecamp.com. Join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.